Today I want to talk to you about Thomas. But before I get to him, many of you who are Bible buffs know that the shortest verse in the Bible is where it says, "And Jesus cried." That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Now, Jesus gathered 12 apostles with him. They were sort of misfits because they weren't exactly the brightest, you know. They weren't exactly the learned. But he worked with them, and he spoke to them, and he trained them. And though Jesus tried, sometimes Jesus felt a little frustrated with them and disturbed that sometimes they didn't understand or grasp what he was saying. So I want to share a quick story with you. It says here, Jesus took his disciples up on the mountain and gathered them around him. And he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are those who suffer. When these things happen, rejoice, for your reward will be great in heaven." Now, Simon Peter said, "Do we have to write this down?" Philip said, "Is there going to be a test on this?" John said, "Would you repeat that slower?" Andrew said, "John the Baptist's disciples don't have to learn this stuff." Matthew said, "Huh?" Judas said, "What's this got to do with real life?" And one of the Pharisees said, an expert of the law said, "I don't see any of this in your syllabus. Do you have a lesson plan? Where's the student's guide? Would it be a follow-up assignment?" And Thomas, who had missed the sermon, came to Jesus and said, "Did we miss anything important today?" And Jesus cried. Jesus worked with them and he loved them. And he had patience with them, even though he knew that they were sometimes absent-minded, sometimes didn't listen. He cared for them and he taught them so this way they could know. Now, I want to talk to you about Thomas the Apostle. So this way you can know a little bit about Thomas. Because it's nice to know about his life because not much is known about him. So I'm going to portray Thomas to you. "Hi, I'm Thomas the Disciple. They call me Didymus, which means twin. I had a twin sister. Well, we weren't identical twins, but we loved each other. We used to sometimes answer our own sentences and read each other's mind. I loved playing with her. But when she was 7, she got sick and she died. But I still miss her. Now, I remember when I first came across Jesus and I heard his words and it touched me. It touched my heart. I've never heard anybody speak like that before in my life. Someone whose words would penetrate inside me that I wanted to know, wanted to follow. So I began to follow Jesus and be one of his disciples. And I learned a lot. I saw his miracles. I was a witness to them. I saw him heal people. I saw him drive demons out. And I said to myself, this must be the Son of God. This must be the Messiah that we've been waiting for. And like anybody else, I had my faith that one day was strong and one day was weak. I remember, you know, one of the apostles that I admired the most was Peter, even though Peter had the tendency to stick his foot in his mouth. But Peter had the courage. I remember when we were in the boat in the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was walking on water and we were scared. We thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, "It's I." And Peter said, call me, Lord, and I'll come up and walk on water." And the other disciples and I looked at each other. We said, "Is he crazy?" You know, we began to make bets to see what's going to happen, if he's going to make it or he's going to drown. But I admired Peter for getting out of the boat and walking on water, even though Jesus had to save him from drowning. But then there was the other time when Jesus got the word that Lazarus died. And he said, "Let's go there to Bethany to visit, you know, Mary there and his sister." And the other disciples said, "No, we shouldn't go because last Sunday tried to kill you there." And I felt strong at faith at that moment. And I said, "Come on, let's all go. Even if we die believing in him." And we all went. I felt proud of myself that day because I had faith. But then there was that Good Friday and that Thursday when we ate and Jesus shared with us his body and his blood, which we really didn't understand. But we got used to not understanding a lot what he told us, but just accepting it. And then when we were in the Garden of Olives, and they came, they took him away, I got scared. Even though Peter took out his sword and cut off one of the servant's ear, and Jesus healed him, we all ran. We were afraid of our lives. We were afraid of losing our lives. And I felt bad as I was running away. I was scared. And then when I found out that he was tortured, he was crucified, and he died, I began to wonder, was he the Messiah? Was I wrong? But he did these miracles. He cured people. You know, these words he spoke, they still light my heart. But what happened? I was so depressed. And I would go by myself, a lot to think about. And one day when I went back into where the other 12 were gathered, they told me, "Oh, we saw Jesus. He was here." And I thought they were saying this to me only to lift up my spirits because they saw that I was down, that I was depressed. And I said to them, no, unless I put my finger in his hands, and I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe you." And I figured that would quiet them down. And they didn't say anything else to me. But then, the following week when I was there, and Jesus appeared, I was in shock. I was happy, but I was shocked. I realized they were telling me the truth. And Jesus called me and told me, "Thomas, put your finger in my hand and put your hand in my side. And don't be unbelieving, but believe." And I said, "My Lord and my God." And he said to me, "Do you believe only because you see? But blessed are those who don't see, who haven't seen and believe." But I felt so happy at seeing the Lord, my spirit going up. But because of what I did, from then on, everybody uses the expression doubting Thomas. Everybody who has a child or a friend who doubts, I say, "Oh, you're a doubting Thomas." So that stigma stuck with me until now, doubting Thomas. But I wish that everybody would think that even though doubting could sometimes be bad, doubting can sometimes be good, because doubting makes you want to search more, to look more, to know more. And I wanted to know more about God. And those who doubt should look also to know God more, to reach out to God more, to search for God more. That's a good thing of doubting it, because when you find God, you find that your doubt goes away. But I also wish that people would not only think of me as doubting Thomas, but think of what happened after Pentecost. When I received the Holy Spirit, everything was made clear to me. I understood everything. I did not fear losing my life. I went out and preached. I went by myself to different parts of the world and was preaching about Jesus to the point that I lost my life for him. At this point, you can see I didn't doubt him. I believed in him. And that's what I wish for everybody here, that you give up your doubt and turn your life to Jesus. So this way you can do his work like I did. And you can do and fulfill your mission here on earth. So follow my last example, not be doubting Thomas, but a believing Thomas. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as some of us sometimes have doubts, clear our minds and hearts, Lord, that we follow you wherever you lead us, and we do your will, so others can see our faith in you and our belief in you. And we pray for all those who do not believe, so they can become believers. Amen.